Go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for your words. And Lord, I do pray you'd help us to realize that this book is a doctrinal book first and foremost. And I pray you'd help us to approach it from your perspective, approach it from a doctrinal perspective, so that we might see what's being said and believe what you want us to believe. And there's some wild stuff in this psalm. And I just pray you'd help us to be faithful to these words in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Psalm 74. Okay, this is the second psalm chronologically. It is written by Asaph. He was a musician during the reign of David. So he's got, I think, 11 of them here in a row. Okay, and this is one of the psalms will make absolutely no sense at all unless you understand the doctrine. I mean, you can't, there's very little devotional material. You're not going to hear Benny Hinn preach about Psalm 74. You're not going to hear the fundamentalist preach about Psalm 74. It is a very unusual psalm, and it's got some very weird things in it when you get down to verse 13 and 14, and even verse 20. Got some weird stuff in here, which if the Lord allowed us to see some of these things, it'd blow our mind. So Psalm 74, as usual, as it seems to be a broken record throughout the Psalms, is the main doctrines about the second coming. Okay, and so the second coming is the main doctrine of the Psalms. Should I give a reference so those guys in the back can start their Bible drill? Let's see. Hezekiah chapter 4, verse 3. He's starting to look. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. That's terrible when you looked up Hezekiah. Jerusalem 4, verse 2. Okay. Psalm 74. Oh, God. What a prayer. Oh, God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Okay, who's the us if you're going to play it on safe ground? Tribulation Jews, casting them off. Now, he forewarned about this casting off several places. He said, I'm going to kick you out. I'm going to cast you off. Okay, let's see. What one do I got there? Got letter H. Look at them all there. Psalm 60, verse 1, Jeremiah 7, 15. Okay, and probably the first place where he says he's going to cast them off or he's going to hide his eyes from them is in Deuteronomy 31. So he foretold them this, that he was going to cast them off as a nation. Romans chapter 11 talks about that, about them him casting Israel off temporarily so you and I get in. Okay, and so why hast thou cast us off forever? Why doth thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? Okay, hot-headed is a common saying, or he's hot under the collar. Or if you see cartoons, you know, the famous good cartoons of the past, you know, Bugs Bunny, Roadrunner, you know, all that kind of stuff. This stuff nowadays is a bunch of garbage. Okay, but whenever they draw cartoons, they usually have a cloud of smoke coming from someone's head, and that's because they're mad. Where'd that come from? Came from this book. Now, did the cartoonist know that? Did he know that he's obeying the Bible? And I dare say the Lord is going to bring all this stuff up when they hit the judgment. You took parts of the Bible and you didn't. I mean, I've heard sports broadcasters talk about a rookie quarterback coming in, and I've heard a sports broadcaster say, boy, he had a baptism of fire. They go, where did he come up with that? Okay, and he's getting it right out of the blessed book. Okay, and so the smoke of the anger against the sheep of thy pasture, sheep, obviously, nation of Israel. Remember thy congregation which thou hast purchased of old? Where did he purchase them? Back in Exodus chapter 4, he was there. It was the firstborn son of God. Okay, the Lord Jesus is the only begotten son of God. Okay, as purchase of old, the rod of thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed, this Mount Zion wherein thou hast dwelt. Dwelling how? Where? in Mount Zion. When? In the temple. In the Jewish temple, when he would be in the temple in the Holy of Holies, and the priest, the high priest, would go in there and then sprinkle blood all over the temple. That's where he's dwelling, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7. That's a legitimate one you can look at, Deuteronomy 7, verse 7. I beat you. Deuteronomy 7, verse 7. The Lord did not set his love unto you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, but ye were the fewest of all people. Okay, and then chapter 12, I think it's the place. He mentions the place of it. Chapter 12, verse 11. Then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Okay, so when they went through the wilderness, they had the tabernacle in a tent form, in a tent shape, where they could take up and put down in a matter of hours. Okay, and then when Solomon built the temple, okay, it was the last time there was a visible evidence of God's presence when the smoke came down. Okay, and so that's what he's referring to, this Mount Zion. Verse 3, he says, lift up thy feet unto the perpetual desolations. What's desolate? Okay, it gets so bad in the tribulation time period that nobody uses the highways. They won't be on the streets. Why? Military will be commanding the streets, just as our interstate system was designed primarily for the military. That's why Eisenhower had it drawn up, set up. It's for the military. So it's amazing that when you have all these streets and there's nobody going to be on them because they won't let them on them during this time, Israel's going to be falling apart, and it's going to be so bad where Jerusalem, according to Isaiah, I think it's 64, is even called desolate. I think it's Isaiah 64. 62:4. 62:4. Isaiah 62:4. Okay, you can see Isaiah 62, verse 1, for Zion's sake, so we're in the same place. And then verse 4, thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate. Okay, that you can see he's not holding his peace, verse 1. That's jumping into the millennium, looking backwards. And so looking backwards into tribulation, Israel is going to be desolate. Okay, there's a song back in Judges chapter 5, the song that Deborah and Barak, Deborah wrote or whatnot, whoever. Okay, Judges chapter 5, and they talk about the highways being desolate. Judges 5, verse 6. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through thy byways. Now, see how the Bible uses the word travelers? It doesn't say driving, travelers. Okay, but then if you run down through this song, this is a second coming song. The main doctrine of this song, the song of Deborah and Barak, is the second coming. Okay, and so that doctrine there, the highways were unoccupied. And there's all sorts of references you can run on that. Okay, so Psalm 74, verse 3, lift up thy feet unto the perpetual desolations. Okay, 3.5 year drought. You've got all the natural catastrophes taking place. You've got the earth opening up and the beasts come out of the earth. Okay, you've got the 200 million Muslims who are trying to kill the Jews and behead them. That's the fleshly ones. Then you got, you know, the giants getting involved. As it was the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming Son of Man. It says, even all that the enemy hath done wickedly in the sanctuary. Okay, the sanctuary, the temple will be rebuilt, Revelation chapter 11. And remember the abomination of desolation, what that is, described of, warned about in Matthew chapter 24. When you see the abomination of desolation, flee into the mountains. Okay, and Daniel describes it, and that's when the Antichrist walks into the Jewish temple, tells the Jews, "You will worship me, I am God." The Jews will recognize the idolatry at that point. They thought he was the Messiah until then. They will recognize he is now the Antichrist. They will reject to serve, they would reject to worship him. He will capture them, or you have his soldiers capture them, and then they will cut their throats, catch their blood, drink their blood in a sacrifice, and then eat their body. Okay, Psalms 14, verse 4. "Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge who eat up my people as they eat bread?" There are more Bible references for that doctrine than there is on church membership, tithing, and baptism put together. Okay, and that's that the Bible forewarns that, and we are, you are actually seeing Hollywood getting everybody ready for it. Hollywood is not hiding it. You know, the Incredible Hulk, something gets mad, turns green, gets big, okay, and starts becoming an amazing soldier that will kill people right and left. They're getting people in society ready for this. And the sooner, the better. Okay, and so this is the idea about the actual eating of people, cannibalism. Cannibal, the word cannibal comes from the extended word from the word Baal. Baal is synonymous with the word Allah. Okay, cannibal, that's when the priest would eat the human sacrifices in the old days. Now, of course, we know everything's getting better with education, and nothing like this is taking place because everybody's got culture throughout the world, and peace and harmony is going to come in because the United Nations has been in charge, and now we have the Messiah in America. So that should be very uplifting, encouraging. So we'll get back to reality on the next verse. Verse 4, "Thine enemies roar in the midst of thy congregations." Thine enemies. Fleshly speaking, thine enemies would be the Muslims, the Arabs, the Edomites, squealing on the Jews, ratting on them, narking on them. This is what Obadiah writes about, that little book Obadiah. They talk about Edom being a proud, smug person who is taking advantage of the Jews, ratting on them, telling where they're at, and then getting their property and reveling in it. And then God says at the end of Obadiah, he said, "Okay, you Edomites, here's what I'm going to do. You're going to become stubble, and Israel will become flames of fire, and you will be torched." Okay, now that doctrine is mentioned in Isaiah 34, Malachi 1 also, and Ezekiel 35. So that's quite prevalent doctrine. Of course, people in a country, you know, people in a city, when you mention the word stubble, they probably think of, you know, not shaving for a couple days. People in the country knows what stubble is. That's what's left over after you come through with a combine. It's the trash that's left in the field. Okay, and so that is the Edomites, and then the Lord's coming back and he's going to torch them. Okay, and they said, "Thine enemies roar in the midst of thy congregation. They set up their ensigns," or ensigns, "for signs." Now, an ensign, I don't know if it's something you can really pin down, but it seems to be a flag, some type of a flag, where they use flags, you know, for symbols, for nations, you know, get the flag out front. You know, I always kind of think it's silly to have a soldier up front pushing a flag up there. I would think, you know, use the pole to stab guys with. Defend yourself. But no, they take the flag up and, you know, they didn't want to get shot, you know, but man, bring the flag in later. But for some reason, that's how they do it. Okay, as probably more for morality, or morale.
In naval warfare and ships, it's required by international law to raise the country's ensign.
First?
No, I mean just, in the old days, they had to raise the flag before they could shoot at the other guys.
Oh, okay. Oh,
raise
the flag. Yeah. I can see that, but you know, you see like them marching in a battle.
There is a rank ensign.
Navy?
Same spelling.
Yeah, it is. Same spelling. Okay.
I was one.
You was one of those?
Everybody shot at him
first. Yeah. Okay, so there's that verse 5. See, this seems to be a weird verse just tucked in here. A man was famous according as he lifted up axes upon the thick trees. What's that got to do with anything? Paul Bunyan, the giant with the blue ox? Dan Bunyan. Is that a bump on my toe? Yeah, but that's weird. There's something about that. A man was famous according as he lifted up axes upon the thick trees. Anybody got any light on that? My battery's done worn out on that one. Yeah? Killing people, yeah. Cedars of Lebanon. What's that? Yeah. Hmm. At once with axes and hammers. So he's out there getting a Christmas, did I say Christmas tree? I don't know what axes represent. Never looked up on that one. Okay, let's move on. Verse 7. Now, in the original Hebrew, yeah. It's more than I got. Okay, 7. They have cast fire into thy sanctuary. They have defiled by casting down the dwelling place of thy name to the ground. So tearing down a temple, Revelation 11, verse 1 and 2, said the Gentiles are going to tread it down or trod it down for 42 months. Okay, and then, not only the sanctuary of the temple, verse 8, they said in their hearts, they, these people or beings, said in their hearts, let us destroy them together. They have burned up all the synagogues of God in the land. Okay, the synagogues, that word synagogues, think about it. When was this written? Historically, it was written during the reign of David. They did not have any synagogues. Why would he write something like this? All they had was a Jewish temple. So that's why it's a prophetic psalm. It shoots into the future. And what nation of people, what army of people burns churches down, and synagogues down? But yet Christians don't go in and burn mosques down. Oh, did I give it away? Okay, so that's the people. Okay, and so the idea of let us destroy them, Ezekiel 35 is an entire chapter where God says to those Edomites, he said, you envy. Their sin is Ezekiel 35, verse 11. You envy my people, and I am going to torch you. Okay, so you have the entire chapter, Ezekiel 35, only 15 verses. And then Malachi, verse 3 and 4, mentions the same thing. And then Obadiah at the end mentions the same thing. And then Isaiah 34, he wants everybody on earth to know this. Okay, Isaiah 34, let's look at that one. He wants every nation to know this truth. Isaiah 34. At the end of this chapter, close to the end, he even says, seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. Read it for yourself. Find out. This is what God wants everybody in the world to know. 34:1, Come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world and all things that come forth of it. What do I want the world to know? Next verse. That I love everyone, and everyone will come to heaven with me. Okay, no, the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations. God's mad. He's indignant, and he's upset. He's mad at them. His fury is upon their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Okay, and then verse 6, the sword of the Lord is filled with blood. And then read down verse 7, 8, 9. This whole area gets turned into pitch, burning pitch, fire, brimstone. Okay, and this is called Edomia, verse 5. That's another name for Edom. This today, the modern name is Saudi Arabia. Okay, and the nation of Jordan. And then notice the unclean birds in verse 11. The raven, the bittern, the cormorant, and the owl. The owl is famous for secret societies. The owl. This is a 40-foot concrete statue of an owl in the virgin forest of the Redwoods in Bohemian Grove, where high political officials throughout the world go there and worship the god Molech, who's a god of an owl. And then on the back of a dollar bill, they have secretly put an owl in printing there. And that's the god Molech in the Old Testament. Okay, this is a big thing with secret societies. You'll see some symbols of corporations will use the owl. Why do they pick the owl? What's owl known for? Wisdom. What was it that Satan tempted Eve with? Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil, and the tree with desire to make one wise. We're the illumined ones. We're Illuminati. We are the ones who are so wise that you need us to help rule you. Okay, and so that's why they choose that. It's an unclean bird. And then all the beast. Verse 14, wild beast. You've got the owl mentioned again. Verse 15. Okay, so there's that chapter in Ezekiel 35. Two entire chapters. He says, I'm going to wipe that place off the map. Okay, 74 of 8 synagogues are burned up. 74:9. We see not our signs. Now, right there ought to tell us right off the bat who he's dealing with. Our signs. The Jew requires a sign. 1 Corinthians 1:22. There is no more any prophet, neither is there among us any that knoweth how long. O God, how long shall the adversary reproach? Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever? That blasphemy is Revelation 13. So, and you can run the how long question through many places in the Psalms. Verse 11, why withdrawest thou thy hand, even thy right hand? They know why. Why? And the day of Calvary, they said, let his blood be on us and our children. And God said, so be it. Okay, that's why he's withdrawn thy hand. He said, pluck it out of thy bosom. For God is my king of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. Okay, praying for the second coming of their Messiah, the king. Recognizing that Jesus Christ is king. This is what the tribulation is doing. He is kicking those Jews so bad. He's kicking them in the corner where finally the remnant has to admit Jesus Christ is the king. And when the remnant accepts him as their king, they're the ones that will go into the millennium. Verse 13. Now here we get into some weird ideas. Thou didst divide the sea by thy strength. Thou breakest the heads of the dragons in the waters. Dragons, some of the reptilians or reptiles or dinosaurs or sea creatures or whatever you want to call it. Notice they got multiple heads. We're dealing with devils here. We're dealing with some weird creatures. We're dealing with not King Kong, but Godzilla and all that Japanese you know, terror stuff. Verse 14, thou breakest the heads of Leviathan in pieces, and gavest him to be meat to the people inhabiting the wilderness, eating his body. Okay, now, I would dare say everybody in this room knows who Leviathan is. Okay, and so you could run that. That's one of four verses that is found in the Bible. It's found twice in Isaiah 27:1. That's the verse you want to show any college professor that tells you Leviathan is a whale or a hippopotamus or an elephant or a firefly. You know, that's what Maranatha Baptist Bible College thought it was, some firebug. Or some whirlpool. I mean, you name it, they can pin it on there. Break us the heads of Leviathan. Heads, Revelation chapter 12 gives seven of them. Okay, so, I mean, we've run that before. Now, this idea of gave us him to be meat to the people. I don't get all of it, but if you go to Job 41, it mentions that his scales are like a snowflake of some type. Something in there. And the idea is that he's going to feed the Jews with manna during the tribulation, but yet he's also going to give them some of this thing to eat. So it's got to be huge. Okay, now, of course, you know, to teach any of these things 100 years ago in the churches, people would not have had a clue of what you're talking about. We are living in a day and age where Hollywood is putting these things on the screen. Why are they doing that? Well, it's who is leading these people. Where do they get their ideas from? You see, man is not smart enough to do a lot of these things, and they're getting these ideas right from the unclean spirits and the devils that they have been praying to for their power. This is why the Kabbalah is such a big deal with these Hollywood people. They get into the Kabbalah, and it's a, you know, New Agey, satanic thing. And so the devil is gearing people up for these things. Now, they haven't, you know, we haven't seen it all yet, because I would dare say we're going to people would pass out when they see it. When that army comes in and they fight against these things, it says they're going to act like women. What's that? So scared they would just stand there and get blown away. Okay, and with that in mind, drop down to verse 20 to see something very strange. Have respect unto the covenant, for the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. What is that? Well, I'd like to see the scholars talk about that. The dark places. Something down there. And they've got people down there in little capsules. And these things down there chew on them when they get hungry. And they got levels, level one down there, whatever, and the deeper they go down into the heart of the earth, the tighter the security is. And the government is afraid of these things because principalities and powers at the top and friends in high places are jockeying for position. You see, remember Jesus said about the kingdoms of the world, when a kingdom is divided, it shall not stand, right? Satan's kingdom will not stand. Why? There is no love in Satan's kingdom. It is a survival of the fittest. Satan's at the top, but all these little imps and devils underneath are trying to vie or jockey for position because they want to beat this one, they want to beat this one. And there is no love lost at all between the Illuminati and the Bilderbergers, you know, and the Rothschilds and the Club of Rome and all these Masonic stuff. All these guys hate each other. And so these things are getting into the, could be getting into the grays or the blondes or whatnot when you get into the aliens and all that type of stuff. Weird stuff. But he's talking about dark places in the heart of the earth. And remember, he also said to the Jews, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So not only do you have wicked things down there, you've got something down there that's going to try to prevent the church of God. So do I have the answer for all these things? Certainly don't want to. Certainly don't want to find out. Certainly don't want to investigate. But the Lord gives us enough information that if case you cross a path of somebody and they had a weird experience, like a trucker told me, you're not going to believe what I taught about. You're going to think I'm crazy after I tell you this. And I said, what's that? He said, six of us trucks were parked along this road and we watched this UFO suck juice out of this electric station. He said, you could just see it come up out of there. I said, okay, what'd you do? And he said, we got out of there. I said, smart man. And there's all sorts of those weird experiences. And I'm glad it's not happened to me. But I have talked to people that they've had strange experiences. Well, that sounds good. See, the Lord's agreeing. That was Michael. He just bowled a strike. Sounds like it.
He wouldn't even go, he would leave his basement, you know, he wouldn't go outside or any near any caves or any bodies of water. The stories he wrote would be false, but he became so paranoid in the stuff that he read in those Egyptian
right. Yeah. And remember, we had Ron White here when they was doing a study and, you know, found that where, you know, they felt the ark was docked in that one place where it's called the Valley of the Raven or the Valley of Eight. And they, somebody did more research after that and they found a sepulcher there of a woman about 12 feet tall, guessing it was Mrs. Noah. Okay, and remember, these giants were around when Noah was building the ark, and I wonder if he employed some of those guys. He said, hey, you, take this and put it over there, and I give you watermelon afterwards. We work for food. That's when it... There's something about it. Boy, I'm glad I've been kept, you know, out of the dark in these things. And I don't think you should start a ministry of it because Hebrews 13, verse 9 says these are strange doctrines. And maybe let some other guys come up with these things. You can get on the internet, you know, type in Steve Quayle and look what he's got. And, you know, he's claims to be a believer in Jesus Christ, but he's worried about going to the tribulation. We'll let him worry about that. He might be pleasantly surprised. Thinks he's going to have to fight these things. But can you imagine Noah had to contend with these things? And he was a preacher of righteousness. Can you imagine him preaching at these things? And preaching at those people of those days when they were so violent, they wanted to kill him. They hated him so bad, they wanted to kill him. But God wouldn't let them. And so, you know, what is that dark place? I don't, you know the answer for some of these things. Be honest with you, don't want to find out. I'll just believe what the book says. And for a long time, when Jesus said to those Pharisees, ye are of your father the devil, for a long time I believed he was speaking spiritually, but I'm of the opinion now that I think that's literal. I think they were actual children of Satan because he can procreate with women. And those men had no emotion at all, none, no emotion at all about crucifying Jesus Christ. About like a cat playing with a mouse, no emotion to sit there and play with the mouse, doesn't worry about the mouse's wife or the mouse's family back home, all the emotional distress that's causing the mouse, just like any animal, and I believe those Pharisees were exactly like that. Why? Because they were motivated by Satan himself. I don't know. Okay, that's 19. Verse 14, 15. Thou didst cleave the fountain and the flood. Thou driest up the river, mighty rivers. There's the drought. Elijah's a type of, you know, as far as a 3.5-year drought. The day is thine, the night also is thine. Thou hast prepared the light and the sun. God's control absolutely of nature, creation. Thou hast set all the borders of the earth. Thou hast made summer and winter. Remember this, that the enemy hath reproached, O Lord, and that the foolish people have blasphemed thy name. Now there's kind of a rule there. If you want to get God's attention, don't tell God how wonderful you are and how deserving you are. When you're in an issue with somebody, don't tell God that you deserve to be spared, you deserve to be delivered. Remind God what they say about him. And this is one reason why, you know, last time, you know, when I'm in court, I bring up in court, file the documents, request the court to take judicial notice of Christianity and the King James Bible, because I want to hear that judge publicly say, I deny your motion. I want him to deny Jesus Christ publicly, because I want Jesus on my side. And I will remind the Lord about what this clown said. And that's what they're doing there. God, this man reproaches you. This man blasphemes you. This man needs a stiff upper right to the jaw from you. That's what he needs. And these foolish people have blasphemed thy name. They have made fun of your son. They have rejected your son. They have rejected the sacrifice your son did. They hate you. They hate your people. And I'd certainly like to see you do something about it. That's a better approach than telling God how much, you know, America deserves his blessings. And yeah, right. Verse 19, O deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove unto the multitude of the wicked. Okay, so we know the dove is a picture of the Spirit of God, but in this context, the dove, you know, referring to the Israel, unto the multitude of the wicked obviously would be the workers of iniquity and the Edomites and so forth. Forget not the congregation of thy poor forever. Poor and needy, you run to James chapter 2 for the poor and needy and several other places. Have respect unto the covenant. Okay, what covenant? What would be the safest one? Abrahamic? I would say the Abrahamic covenant. Mosaic covenant was conditional. The Abrahamic was unconditional, and that's the one that he's going to fulfill in the millennium. So yeah, I would say the land grant of Abraham, I think that's the one that I went with in a margin. I'm getting, huh? Oh. Right, yeah. Bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. Singular. I never noticed that. Genesis 12:3. Ain't that something? That's a blessing. Okay, verse 21. Okay, well, the rest of verse 20. For the dark places of the earth are full of habitations of the cruelty. Okay, a good reference for that is Ephesians 6:12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places. And then 21. Oh, let not the oppressed return ashamed. Let the poor and needy praise thy name. Obviously, the Jews being oppressed. Arise, O God, greatest prayer of the Bible. Pray for the second coming of Christ. Obviously, the greatest earthly prayer you can pray is that your eyes are open to the Scriptures, but the greatest doctrinal prayer is the last prayer of the Bible, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." Arise, O God. Arise as in like a sunrise, as in the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N. Plead thine own cause, as in a court case. Cause is still used in some courts. Case is used in others. They just drop the U. Plead thine own cause, or asking the Lord to defend them. Why? Because the court proceedings, the judicial proceedings, will be the proceedings the Antichrist will use to get their dastardly deeds accomplished. Remember how the foolish man reproaches thee daily. Doctrinally has to be the Antichrist. Every day. Forget not the voice of thine enemies. The tumult of those that rise up against thee increaseth continually. Again, 23, in this prayer, he's reminding God about the enemy and how bad the enemy is instead of how good they are. Okay, that's Psalm 74. I got that pretty well covered. Any questions or comments when we covered? Mm-hmm, Brother Paul.